Well, if you have your Bible, turn, as we have been the last few nights, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let me just reiterate something that Pastor David said a moment ago. I, too, am so thankful for your pastor. He's right. I've known many of you for a very long time, and I could not be more thankful for the pastor that you have, and that we can serve the Lord all together. Tonight, we're going to look again at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We've been looking at verses 6 through 8, and we're going to look at the first part of verse 8 tonight. But let me just read that whole section for 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Amen. One time, I almost won a trophy. My senior year of high school, my football team came so close. We had had a good year. We had won all the way through the tournament to the state championship game and then lost. We had been so motivated all year long to finally get that trophy. We had come kind of close the year before. We were so close to getting the prize, and we lost. Well, NFL football teams, they compete for the Lombardi Trophy every year, and only one team gets it. Hockey teams compete to win the Stanley Cup. NASCAR drivers drive for the Sprint Cup. Olympic athletes strive for a gold medal. Soccer teams attempt to win the World Cup. Baseball teams try to win the Commissioner's Trophy. Golfers attempt to win the PGA Tour Trophy. In sports, there is a prize, and we're chasing after that prize. And awards in sports, they are tangible representations of an athlete or a team's accomplishments, that they won, that they were the best. And along the way, through the season of whatever sport you choose, that award, that championship trophy, is motivation to fight and run and win until you attain the prize. Well, we've been considering our readiness for either Christ's return or for our own departure from this life. We saw a couple nights ago in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, the reality that we will all face the Lord one day. And that only the life poured out for Christ will find joy on that day. And then we saw last night in verse 7 that the Christian life along the way is a fight in the strength of the Lord. It is a marathon that we are running with endurance, and it is founded on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a long road and a tough road. Tonight, in the first half of verse 8, Paul's going to give us a glimpse into his motivation. As he fights, as he runs, as he keeps the faith, what is he looking forward to? And Paul tells us this, and he tells us his motivation tonight, not because he likes to talk about himself, but it's because he wants Timothy, who he's writing to have the same motivation, and the Lord wants us to have the same motivation. So tonight, we want to ask ourselves this question. Are we motivated to fight the good fight, to finish the race, and to keep the faith? Pastor David just mentioned suffering that we will all face. Are we motivated to trust the Lord in suffering, to trust the Lord when the world presses in on us? And then, what is our motivation? As we look at verse 8 tonight, Lord willing, we will get a better glimpse, I pray, of the right motivation, the godly motivation for enduring in the Christian life. So if there is a main point for tonight's sermon, it might be this. Christians are motivated to keep going by looking to Jesus and longing for the reward. Christians are motivated to keep going by looking to Jesus and longing for the reward. And I hope we will see that through 3 points in the first half of verse 8. We're going to see the great reward that we long for. We're going to see the one who gives the reward, the righteous judge. And then we're going to see when we get it, the last day. So the great reward, the righteous judge, and the last day. Let's look again at verse 8 together and begin with the great reward. Paul says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." Notice that he begins with henceforth. Another way to say that is, all that remains. Remember, we've talked about the last few nights that Paul is at the end of his days. He knows his time is short. He's giving Timothy his last will and testimony. He's in prison. He knows he's about to face the sword because of his faith. Only the last few drops of his cup are left to be poured out. And here he says, all that is left, all that remains henceforth is the reward. I think this is a reminder again tonight. Don't leave anything in the cup. I pray we can all say, like Paul, when the time of our departure comes, all that remains is the reward. That's all that is left. But it's also a reminder that while we remain here, we have a fight to fight. We have a race to run. We have a faith to keep. There is more work for us that remains here. And even in suffering, we need to press on. And I think Paul would tell us, and he tells us in this letter, fight now, fight today for peace then. Run now for rest then. And keep the faith now for sight then. Paul says, all that remains. And then he says in verse 8, all that remains, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Amen. The great reward that is motivating Paul to press on, that he is looking forward to, is a crown. When Roman athletes in the first century would win a marathon or win a competition, they would receive a wreath, a crown on their head as the prize, right? The tangible sign of a fight well fought. Well, Paul has fought the good fight, and he is expecting, he is waiting on a crown. But the Roman crowns, they fade. We don't have Roman crowns today. Even Lombardi trophies, they may stay in a glass case for decades, but eventually they will turn to dust. Paul is expecting a whole different sort of crown. This, he says, is a crown of righteousness. This is an otherworldly kind of reward. Righteousness. Not money. Not fame. No, Paul says, a crown of righteousness. I want you maybe flip over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, Paul talks about this race and this prize. And he says this, 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. athletes today, the Lombardi Trophy, the Stanley Cup, all of the awards that they strive for in sports, they do not last. But this reward is everlasting. This reward never fades. It is the crown of righteousness. Amen. Now tonight, hang with me here for a minute. Because I think we need to get a full picture of what righteousness is and how we can be righteous to really understand what Paul means by the crown of righteousness. And I want you to see, I pray you'll see, that it's by always looking to our Savior, always looking to Jesus. If we keep our eyes on Him, then we will long and prize this crown of righteousness. So what does Paul mean here by the reward that he's looking for is a crown of righteousness? Well, righteousness, to put it simply, is doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Righteousness is, it's living according to God's standard. It's at this point, if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest with our life before Christ, we realize, according to Scripture, we are not righteous. We have a problem. Scripture says that we are sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul says in Romans, none is righteous. No, not one. And we're going to see in just a minute that the Lord is a righteous judge. So if we stand before the righteous judge and we are not righteous, we will face His just wrath against us for our sin. Punishment that we deserve because we've rebelled against our righteous God. But God, being rich in mercy, has made a way for us to be saved. The great news of the gospel that we believe in is that although we are unrighteous, God sent one who was righteous. And His name is Jesus. Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life according to God's standard. And then in the greatest display of mercy and grace, He gave up His life on the cross in our place to save us from sin. And on third day, He rose from the dead, giving it's God's final stamp of approval on His sacrifice. And the incredible news of the gospel is not just that our sins are wiped away. It is that. But it is also that when we place our faith in Jesus, we sinners are counted in the eyes of God as righteous. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, a verse I'm sure many are familiar with. Paul says, "For our sake, He made Him, that is Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, by looking to Jesus, as sinners who repent of sin and trust in Jesus, we are considered righteous, not because of anything that we have done, but by the grace of God. That is what we call our justification. That when you trust in Christ, your sin is given to Jesus and nailed on the cross, and His perfect righteousness is credited to your account. Which means, when God the Father looks at you, although you have been unrighteous, God sees the righteousness of His Son, and He declares you not guilty. But the good news doesn't stop there. When we trust in Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts and lives so that the righteousness of Christ that we have on our account, we start to live out in our actual lives. So justification, we are declared righteous. Our sanctification, we're growing in righteousness. We start to look more like Jesus as we follow Him. Paul says this we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. So when we look to Christ in the Word and we see Him for all of His glory, He says we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. That, I think, is what Paul is talking about when he says he's fought the good fight. He's finished the race and he's kept the faith. He's poured out his life for Christ. He has been striving and running after Christ to look more and more like Him. He has been declared righteous and he has been growing in righteousness. But Christian, it is a fight. You know that some days we feel so close to the Lord, we are living in righteousness, and then the very next moment we fall and we feel far from God. And we have to confess our sins again. And we have to renew our faith in Christ again. And as Pastor David said last night, there is no day off in the good fight of faith. And so the journey of sanctification, of growing in righteousness, is long and hard. And there are more potholes than smooth roads. What will keep us going? The answer is, as we look to Jesus, we have a great promise of a great reward, the crown of righteousness. So, we have already, as Christians, been counted as righteous, declared not guilty. Now, by the Spirit, we are growing in righteousness to look more and more like Christ. But one day, we will actually be righteous. One day, sin will be no more. We will be made like Christ in every respect. We've said our justification, declared righteous, our sanctification, growing in righteousness in this life, but the crown of righteousness is our glorification, when the fight will finally be over. The reward that Paul is looking forward to, the reward that is motivating him to keep going until the very last drop, the same reward that should motivate Timothy and should motivate us, is that we will one day finally and fully be like our Savior. We will have a crown of righteousness. I read an article today about a first responder who works in New York City, and he's a part of the disaster medical assistance team. And that's a team that responds to major disasters in the city. And in this article, this paramedic was talking about his motivation, what led him to do all this work and all this training and to run into disasters to help in these situations, what led him to pursue this career. And he said, I always wanted to be like my dad. He wanted to follow in his father's footsteps. See, his dad was a part of the same team. And he said he remembers when his dad was called to go to Ground Zero to provide medical help after the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center. And the boy remembers on one of those days, his mom actually brought him to see his father working on Ground Zero. And this man said it was that day that he knew he wanted to be just like his dad. He wanted to follow in his father's footsteps. And so it motivated him. He worked hard and he became just like his dad. Church, are we motivated by the fact that we will be like our Savior? Are we looking to Jesus and loving Jesus so much that we long to be like Him, not in our physical appearance, but in our hearts, that our attitudes and our actions and our desires are like Jesus? I pray tonight we do long for that. And the good news is our great hope is we will get just that. We will be like Christ. We will receive a crown of righteousness. Let that motivate you to press on, to keep believing, to keep fighting against the enemies of the flesh, the world, and the devil. Because one day the fight will be over. And you will rest in the arms of your Savior without sin, without suffering, without tears. And you will be like Him. And you will be righteous. And then notice who will award this crown to us. Verse 8 again. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. When that day comes, we will stand before Christ, and He, the righteous judge, will place a crown of righteousness on our heads. And this truth, that He is a righteous judge, it's a warning to some, but it is reason to praise for others. Friends, the truth is that we will all stand before the Lord, who is the righteous judge. And He will do what is right and just, and He will make a judgment upon us, either to enter into God's kingdom or to be cast into the fires of hell. And if we are not covered in the blood of the Lamb, if we are not counted righteous by the righteousness of Christ, then the just and the right thing is for sinners to be cast into hell. If you happen to be here tonight and you have not repented of your sin and believed with your whole heart in Christ, don't wait. Run to Christ, who has done what is necessary to save you from hell, to forgive you of your sin, and to bring you into God's family and to make you His child. But for Christians, the fact that the righteous judge will give us a reward ought to bring us to our knees in worship. We were not righteous. So how can a righteous judge reward unrighteous sinners? It's by His grace. God declared us righteous in Christ, and He sanctified us in this life by His Spirit. So we do not deserve the crown of righteousness, and yet God delights to give it to us based on the person and work of Jesus. And when we receive that crown, when we become like Christ, it will be the fullest taste of the grace of the Lord for us. He has given us the free gift that we did not deserve. And when we are with the Lord, I don't think we will ever think too highly of ourselves, as if we became righteous on our own. No, we will spend an eternity basking in the glory of God's grace. Paul says in that great gospel passage in Ephesians chapter 2, he says this in verse 7 of Ephesians 2. Right after he's told the Ephesians that they're saved by grace alone, that they've been raised with Christ and seated with Him in the heavenly places, he says this in verse 7. So that, here's why God has demonstrated grace to you, so that in the coming ages, that is, in eternity with God, in the coming ages, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. When you get to heaven, how long will it take you to measure the grace of God? Eternity. Because that grace is immeasurable. The riches never end of His grace. We will spend eternity praising Him for the gift that He has given to us in His Son, Jesus. And we will forever remember our King is a righteous judge. We were unrighteous, and yet He's given us Christ's righteousness. We will be like Him. Tonight, do you realize the grace that the Lord has shown to you? You are where you are in the Christian life because of God's grace. You are following the Lord and growing in righteousness because of grace. You are still believing, even in your suffering, because of God's grace. So are you clinging to the promise of grace that the Lord is ready to reward to you on the last day? That should cause us, I believe, to praise Him and thank Him and love Him and to be like Him. That should cause us to fight the good fight, to finish the race, and to keep the faith. In the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, many of you are probably familiar, John Bunyan writes an allegory for the Christian life, and the main character, guess what? His name is Christian. Well, Christian has to walk a long and hard road on his way to what John Bunyan says is the celestial city, the glorious city, right? That is, to heaven. Well, toward the end of the story, Christian and his friend Hopeful finally see the gate of God's city. They're almost home after a long and hard road, but to get there, they have to cross a river that's strong and deep. And in the story, the river represents death. It's after Hopeful and Christian die that they will be ushered into God's city. And they approach the river and they get in the river, and Christian starts to panic. He starts to doubt. He starts to sink. And he cries for his friend Hopeful to help him. See, Christian faced the end of his days and he began to fear. Maybe I don't belong to God. Maybe He won't forgive my sins. And he began to think that maybe he wasn't a Christian after all, that the Lord had abandoned him. But Hopeful spoke words of hope, and this is what he said. "These troubles and distresses that you go through in these waters are no sign that God has forsaken you, but they are sent to test you, whether you will call to mind that which you have received of His goodness and live upon Him in your distress." And then after a while, Hopeful adds one final word to Christian. "Be of good cheer. Jesus Christ makes you whole." And with that, the story says, Christian broke out with a loud voice and he said, "Oh, I see Him again." Christian therefore presently found ground to stand upon. And so it followed that the rest of the river was but shallow. And thus they got over. Christian found hope in his final days when he struggled, when he began to doubt, when he questioned what was happening and what the Lord was doing. And if he was even a Christian, he found hope in remembering the goodness and the grace of the Lord. And he looked to Jesus again. Let the grace and the goodness of the Lord be the rock that you stand on when things are hard. And then finally, when will we receive this reward? Look at verse 8 as we bring this all to a close. 2 Timothy verse 8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." Friends, Jesus Christ is coming back. And when He does, He will not come as a baby born in a manger, but as a warrior and judge riding a white horse. He is the righteous judge. And to those outside of Christ, He will judge on that day. But to those found in Christ, He will give the crown of righteousness. Are you ready? Are you waiting for that day? And what exactly will happen when we receive the crown of righteousness? Well, let me read you one last passage. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says this. "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared." That we are not yet fully like Christ. But he says, "But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, Well, what makes us like him? He says, because we shall see him as he is. Sinners left in the muck in need of salvation look to Christ for salvation, and he declares us righteous. Christians are struggling in the fight of faith, and we are growing in righteousness by looking to Christ in his word. And on that final day, we will see him face to face. And because we see him in all of his glory, we will be changed in an instant and be like him. You cannot look at the sun without your eyes burning. You cannot look at God's Son and not be changed. And if that is your hope, if that is your joy, John says you will strive to be like him now. Listen to 1 John 3, verse 3, right after that verse. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. The great promise that we will see him face to face and be like him is motivation for today to live like Christ, to follow after Christ. So what should we do with all this tonight? I just want to remind us as we close of a couple things. Number one, if you do not long for that reward of being like Christ, your eyes may not be opened to the glory of Christ. And if that is you, I pray you would confess your sins to God and trust in the Lord. Ask him to help you see Christ for all of his glory and to change your heart and your affections toward him. Number two, in this fight of faith, you might be struggling. Many of us are. You might be struggling with sin. You might be suffering. You may have doubts. You might be worn down by others around you who just don't seem to see what you see in Christ. Maybe you long for friends and family to know Jesus, but the jump for them seems so far, and you are struggling. If that is you, take heart, Christian. The Lord is for you. Trust him. Lean on the everlasting arms and realize one day the fight will be over and there will be rest and there will be peace and hope and you will be righteous like our Savior. And finally, number three, we have to train our eyes to look to Christ today so that we will see him clearly on the last day. We have to train our eyes to look to Christ today so that when he comes, we recognize him as our Savior. And the way we look to Christ today is by looking at him in his word, by reading his word. It's by fellowshipping with the church. You need other believers to remind you of Christ and to remind you to look to Christ. You need to hear the word preached. You need others praying for you. And then you train your eyes by praying yourself, by living the gospel, by trusting the Lord. Maybe find another believer to read scripture with so that you can both grow to look to Christ more. Let's set our eyes on Christ. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would look to your Son, Jesus. That we would cling to your grace, that you have declared us righteous, that you are working in us to make us like Christ, and one day, in an instant, we will be like him. Father, I pray that you would help us as we fight the good fight. Help us to run the race with endurance and to keep the faith so that at the end of our life, we would be ready and we could say with Paul, all that remains is to receive the crown of righteousness which you, the righteous judge, will award to us on that day. Father, I pray that that is our hope. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.